time.
Good morning, I'm Deacon Ray, and I'll be reading the scripture today, which comes from Romans 15, 22 through 29, and that can be found on page 1036 of your pew Bible, if you care to follow along there. This is the reason that I have so often been hindered from coming to you, but now, with no further place for me in these regions, I desire, as I have for many years, to come to you when I go to Spain. For I do hope to see you on my journey and to be sent on by you once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem in a ministry to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do this, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material things. So when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will set out on my way of you to Spain, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. May God give us understanding of this Holy Scripture.
Whenever Linda and I go away on vacation and we're gone over a Sunday, we try to find some place to go to church. In some locations, that's not so easy. A couple of years ago, we were on vacation in Alaska, and we had trouble finding a Baptist church in one town on a Sunday, so we went to a Presbyterian church. The next Sunday, we were in a town that did have a Baptist church, and I went on the church's website to find out the service and other details and discovered some things I didn't really like about the church when I read it on the website, so we went to a Methodist church that Sunday. And my guess is that both the Presbyterian church and the Methodist church were more compatible with our church than the Baptist church that we avoided. It's no surprise for you to hear me say that all Baptist churches are not alike. That's because Baptist churches are autonomous, meaning we manage and govern ourselves. No one outside the church tells a Baptist church what to do. We are not like churches that are governed by some church hierarchy. Now, we do have a higher authority. Our higher authority is Jesus. But we do not have a bishop or a district superintendent or a diocesan council or a doctrinal decree. And as a result, there is incredible diversity among Baptist churches. Baptist churches are autonomous, but not necessarily independent, because many Baptist churches cooperate with other churches, not because we have to, but because we want to. We are autonomous, but we choose to cooperate. We choose to cooperate with churches of like faith and order, because no church is an island unto itself. We are part of a much larger entity, namely the worldwide church, the universal church, the body of Christ. And so even for a medium-sized church like ours, there's certain things we cannot do. For example, we cannot send out missionaries to serve in other countries. We don't have a budget large enough to support a missionary family serving on a foreign field. And so we cooperate with churches of like faith and order to send field personnel around the world. Another example, we cannot train clergy ourselves. We cannot provide adequate theological education for the training of ministers. And so we cooperate with churches of like faith and order to establish seminaries and schools of divinity and other means of educating ministers, often in conjunction with other institutions of higher education. We cannot provide ministerial support for ourselves, like insurance and retirement plans and disability payments. And so we combine or cooperate with churches of like faith and order to set up nonprofits to provide that kind of service. That's why churches of like faith and order come together to achieve those larger purposes that any individual church cannot do on its own. Now, I've been using the term like faith and order to describe churches compatible enough to work together. And even though Baptist churches are autonomous, we do share some common beliefs and practices. For example, most Baptist churches believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, salvation through personal, voluntary faith in Jesus, the authority of Scripture, the priesthood of all believers, the autonomy of the local church, separation of church and state, religious liberty. Most Baptist churches agree on those common principles. Also, most Baptist churches practice believers' baptism by immersion and the Lord's Supper and potluck dinners. That's not an official church ordinance, but I just threw that one in there. Beyond those basic beliefs and practices, there is a lot of diversity. Baptists do not agree on the interpretation of the Bible, on types of music, on styles of preaching, on the authority of the pastor, on the role of women, on racial inclusiveness, and many other issues. Some Baptists don't even agree to cooperate with other Baptists. That's part of the reason why there are so many different Baptist groups, especially here in America. As you know, our church voluntarily cooperates with a number of Baptist groups, including the Baptist World Alliance, which is the worldwide network of Baptists. There are organizations in over 120 countries. And here in the United States, the Baptist World Alliance has 18 different member organizations. Shows you how complicated things are. 18 different Baptist groups in the U.S. are part of the Baptist World Alliance. The only major Baptist group in the U.S. that is not a member of the Baptist World Alliance is the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, that's somewhat ironic because the SBC was a founding member of the Baptist World Alliance. But the reason the SBC is no longer a member of the BWA is that in 2004, leaders of the SBC convinced the members to vote to withdraw from the Baptist World Alliance. In 2004, SBC pulled out, charging the Baptist World Alliance with a drift toward liberalism. Never mind that the Baptist World Alliance is a voluntary confederation of groups with no legislative power and no judicial authority over its member churches. Well, Village was constituted in 1971 as a Southern Baptist church. In 1979, an organized group began a process to take over the Southern Baptist Convention by electing their candidate as president every year, and the president would appoint members of boards and committees that were in agreement with the president's agenda. And as a result, over a period of time, the Southern Baptist Convention was taken over by this particular group. Village began as a Southern Baptist church in 1971, but our church has broadened its affiliations over the years. In 1980, our church joined the D.C. Baptist Convention, which is aligned not just with Southern Baptists, but with American Baptists and with Progressive National Baptists, three denominations the D.C. Convention is aligned with. In 1987, a group of disenfranchised Southern Baptists formed the Southern Baptist Alliance, now known as the Alliance of Baptists, and our church joined that group the following year. In 1991, a much larger group of disenfranchised Southern Baptists, led by Daniel Vestal, formed the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and a few years after that, our church began to support the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Now, I'm telling you this rather complicated history that you might better understand the different types of Baptists, and so you might understand where our church fits in to this complex story. Even though we continue to affiliate on some level with many different Baptist groups, including Southern Baptist, our primary affiliations are with the D.C. Baptist Convention, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and the Baptist World Alliance. And so now when Linda and I go on vacation and we're gone over a Sunday, we try to find a CBF church, a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship church, because every time we've been to one, we felt at home. Two of our former members, Doug and Eileen Barnett, moved to Tennessee after they retired. And they were looking for a church, and they sought out a CBF church, a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship church, and they found one in Tennessee, not too far from their home. Now, they've kept in touch with us by our church newsletter and by occasional visits. And Linda and I visit with their pastor, Melissa Royston, every time we see her at the CBF meetings, usually in June. A few weeks ago, we received a donation from Doug and Eileen Barnett for our summer mission project, Watering Malawi. And so I sent an email to Eileen and Doug thanking them for their generous donation. And then Eileen sent me an email in reply, which I'd like to share part of that with you. Eileen wrote, "Doug and I are glad we can help with the Malawi project. We enjoy reading the newsletter, and we're always happy to help with mission projects that you are supporting. We loved our time as part of the Village family. Our church, Providence Baptist Church, PBC, is supporting CBF missionary Missy Ward Angela, who is in Kampala, Uganda. We're a small church, but we lend our monthly support to Missy as our international missionary. Plus, we support our local pantry, hospital cancer center, and Tennessee CBF. We identify ourselves as a small church with a big heart. Sunday, August 7th, we celebrated PBC's 20th anniversary, and May 22nd, we celebrated Melissa's 10th anniversary as pastor. We don't know what the future holds, as most of the members are retirees, and being in Southern Baptist country and having a female pastor, we are considered an oddity and don't attract many newcomers. But for the present, we are a happy and fun-loving group reveling in God's love. Well, in our scripture for this morning, Paul wrote to the church in Rome about his travels and his hopes to visit with them. Paul had never been to Rome. He did not know all the members of the church there. But he felt connected to the church because of their common faith in Jesus and their desire to do the Lord's work. According to his letter, Paul hoped to visit Rome on his way on to Spain, but only after he had made a trip to Jerusalem to deliver an offering for the poor. Churches in Macedonia and Greece had collected an offering for the poor in Jerusalem, and Paul was on his way to Jerusalem to take the offering to the poor there in the church. Even though most of the church members in Macedonia and Greece were Gentile Christians, and most of the members of the church in Jerusalem were Jewish Christians, they felt a common bond through their common faith in Christ. Well, Linda and I have felt a common bond through our common faith through the Christians that we have met through the D.C. Baptist Convention and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and the Baptist World Alliance. And even though there is great diversity among us, there is also great unity in Christ. I mentioned earlier about a prayer guide that's been published by the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and we have copies on the back table. I hope you'll pick up a copy and take it with you. And even more, I hope you'll read this prayer guide and use it to guide your own prayers in the coming year. And as you read it, you will discover about some of the work that we are doing together as we cooperate with other churches to share the good news of Jesus around the world. I thank God for the people who've been a part of our church, even those who are no longer with us, like Doug and Eileen Barnett. We also received a donation for our summer mission project by Ruth Dugan, who was our church organist over 30 years ago. And Ruth also keeps up with Village through the newsletter, and she even listens to the sermons online. There are many former villagers who remain a part of us because of our time together and our common faith in Jesus. And our church is part of something much larger than ourselves through the D.C. Baptist Convention and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and the Baptist World Alliance and the other groups that we support. And we're part of something larger than ourselves through our summer mission project, Watering Malawi, which, by the way, was founded by a woman connected with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. No church is an island unto itself. We are part of a worldwide fellowship of love and service in Jesus' name. Well, Linda and I enjoyed our time away the past 2 weeks, and we did go to church one Sunday in South Dakota. There wasn't a Baptist church in town, so we worshiped with the United Church of Christ in Keystone, South Dakota, not very far from Mount Rushmore. We enjoyed visiting with the congregation, and we felt at home, but we're glad to be home because this church is our home, and you are our church family. I guess that means you're stuck with us, and we're stuck with you. Why don't we just stick together and see what God will do? Our Father, we thank you for our church, family, for the fellow Christians that we worship with and fellowship with on a weekly basis. And we thank you that we can cooperate with other churches to carry out the work of Christ around the world. We thank you for that worldwide fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. And we pray that even though we are diverse, even though we come with many different gifts and different backgrounds and different perspectives, we have that common unity through our common faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to love each other, to work together, to follow Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. And as we do every Sunday, we offer you an opportunity to respond. It may be there's someone here today who would profess your faith in Jesus and follow him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not a part of this church family and would unite with us officially. I'm happy to say at the early service today, Judy Woodall joined our church in an official capacity, even though she's been a part of us for a long time. If that would be your decision, we'd invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 273, In Christ There Is No East or West.